Local news, talk, weather, and traffic. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
A lot better shape weather-wise this morning than 24 hours ago. It is a Friday morning. You've arrived 61 now and sunshine on the way. More from Dr. Bill coming up in just a second. First, let's check the ride in. Here's Kane with traffic.
Good morning from the Alliance Roofing Traffic Center. Mobile Police Department, County and State Troopers are clear. It's been a good ride so far as you're traveling over the Bayway and the Causeway. Accident-free conditions continue all the way over towards the Eastern Shore. Light traffic so far from the 1065 split if you're traveling northbound up towards Pritchard, Chickasaw, and Saraland. Come out to Market in the Park Saturday, May 2nd, 7:30 in the morning till noon at Cathedral Square. It's your favorite certified Alabama farmer's market. Get the details at specialeventsmobile.org. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Welcome to Moe's!
We're open for business and serving up fresher-than-fresh burritos, bowls, or whatever you're craving. Made just for you from our 20-plus fresh and flavorful ingredients. Check out our menu and order online at Moe's.com. Pick up your order or delivery is available through DoorDash and Waiter. Every Moe's is locally owned, which is why you'll see that we're not just serving awesome Southwest food, we're serving the community. Four locations, Rangeline Road, McGregor Avenue, the Eastern Shore Center, and in Daphne.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect sunny skies today with temperatures in the lower 80s this afternoon. Tonight becoming mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with afternoon readings in the mid-80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Hey, it's Sean Sullivan. Join Mike Ward and me every Saturday morning at 7 for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, bringing you inshore, offshore, and freshwater fishing reports from some of the area's best guides, plus hunting talk, conservation news, habitat management, and the latest in state and federal regulations. So join the conversation Saturday mornings at 7. Plus, you can listen after the hunt or fishing trip with our podcast on FMTalk1065.com. It's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, outdoors for South Alabama by people that hunt and fish right here in South Alabama. At 6:08, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. I'm Sean Sullivan. There's Dalton Orwig. Our staff meteorologist is Dr. Bill Williams. He'll join us for a full weather discussion today and the weekend ahead. Do that at around 6:35. Also, Kane keeping us in the loop on traffic. And, of course, you on the text line at 343-0106. 343-0106. Promo ran there for the FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors show. I rarely do a live tease for the Outdoors show, right? I don't do that very often. So here's your live tease for the Outdoors show. I've gotten a couple emails and I think two texts this over the last week. People saying, what is the effect on snapper season? They're like, I'll be typecast that way. That's fine. People typecast me and say, hey, well, ask Sean. That's fair. What will the effects of coronavirus be on the upcoming snapper season?
Well, that's the first question for anything, really. You could talk about,
How will coronavirus affect?
Or how will blank affect snapper season? It always comes back to snapper season.
It's a good thing. So I'm bringing the man in tomorrow. The director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, will join us. So he's leadoff batter at 7 o'clock when Mike Ward and I fire up FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. So if we're going to ask every snapper season question, anything coming up, because we're supposed to start May 22nd, I think. And a few little tweaks to the season this year. Instead of being three-day weekends, they're four-day weekends where they're, instead of just being Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So, but we'll get in that discussion tomorrow at 7. And if you don't catch it, that's okay. So you catch it. You don't catch the show at 7. We replay it at 11 on Saturday evenings, also 7 Sunday mornings at 10 Sunday evenings, mm-hmm. plus the podcast available mid-morning tomorrow. You can go to the podcast page and listen to it at your leisure.
So if I want to listen to it all four times live and then listen to the podcast, do you have a problem with that?
Yes, I do. I appreciate the thousands of y'all that download our podcast and do that. If you listen to 1 hour five times, I'm going to flag you.
Okay,
I'm probably going to put a flag on you. But twice or so?
That's
Listen to it live, listen to it on podcast, I'm cool. If you listen five times.
There's a lot of information in there.
There is, but you can pause it.
That's
and
right.
Take it in. All right. It's 10 minutes after 6 o'clock, and on this Friday, we'll get to the latest, of course, coming up in just a second, coronavirus by the numbers. Plus, National Guard at Crown Healthcare today to do a cleansing like they did for William F. Green Veterans Home. We'll talk about that. Also, Mobile's curfew to expire next week.
then you can be out after 10 and before 5. And we'll talk about the number of citations MPD has given during this curfew. Also, question seems to be dominating the chatter out there on social media when it comes to coronavirus this morning. Can your pet get coronavirus from you, or can your pet give you coronavirus? We'll get the latest from the Department of Agriculture and the CDC on that one. And yesterday, tough, with unemployment numbers now rivaling the Great Depression. 4.4 million people applied for unemployment benefits during the week that ended April 18th. According to the Labor Department, coronavirus-related closings have had a devastating impact on the economy, with approximately 26 million Americans filing claims over the past 5 weeks.
And completely erased the gains we've made since the recession.
Unbelievable. As we're looking at those high unemployment numbers, we'll talk more about that. And speaking of unemployment, if you don't feel like you're ready to head back to the job, because maybe your business will come online next week, or maybe May 1st is looking like, but you don't feel like going back, well, if you refuse to go back to work, you get no more unemployment benefits. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about what the state had to say on that yesterday. Now, as we start off each hour, we do coronavirus by the numbers nationally and here at home. Dalton, what are we looking like from yesterday?
Well, nationally, we're now up to 886,700 cases of coronavirus. And yesterday, we crossed the 50,000 mark for number of deaths. There have been nearly 86,000 that have recovered since they came down with the virus. Looking at the number of new cases nationally yesterday, there were 31,900 cases added to the total. That's a little bit higher than we've seen the past 5 days, but still not near the highest number we've had to this point. Number of new deaths yesterday came in at 2,342, which was similar to the day prior and much lower than Tuesday, when we had our highest number yet of 2,683. Looking at the numbers here in the state, now, there were some changes to the Alabama Department of Public Health.
Oh, we got to get into that today.
Yeah, they made some changes and tweeted about it yesterday to announce what they've done. So what they had been doing was listing two different death statistics: number of reported deaths and number of confirmed COVID-19 deaths. We were only reporting the number of confirmed COVID-19 deaths. We weren't reporting the number of reported deaths.
Right. We felt that it was not the important number to tell you the total number of deaths, because I guess the analogy I made, if I have COVID-19 and somehow stumbled out of the hospital and got run over by a bus, I didn't die from COVID-19. I died from getting run over by the bus.
Right. But now, I think that you, if that were to happen, which let's pray it does it, if that were to happen, you would actually be counted towards the death total nationally and in the state.
Okay. And we have got to find, we'll find somebody from ADPH. I know they're all so busy they can't talk, but sitting here without knowing, maybe there's some piece of information I don't know, that seems like the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
It seems like fake news. I'm a person that is engaged and believes that we are in a fight against COVID-19. I believe and I know firsthand there are fatalities from COVID-19, but to tell me that anybody that has COVID-19 and could die from something else, you're now counting as a COVID-19 death, is baloney.
Yeah, and it makes it really tough to get true statistics to figure out what the actual fatality rate of this is. And I know there's a gray area for sure, and it's really tough, I'm sure, for these doctors to determine sometimes whether it was COVID-19 that was the cause of death. But if someone were to, unfortunately come down with terminal cancer and they were told they have 6 months to live, well, if they go through those 6 months and happen to catch coronavirus,
right,
and then die from the cancer, maybe coronavirus helped spur it on. But should that be counted towards the statistic? It's okay. A huge question.
Well, you can argue that people don't, and maybe I'll get corrected on this, but they don't die from COVID-19. They die from pneumonia, but these are brought out of the lack of being able to breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, the damage COVID-19 does to the lungs. So there are some things you could say, well, it wasn't actually COVID-19, but it was a comorbidity from COVID-19. Then we can discuss it. But if it's just anything, if that person happens to die while being positive for COVID-19, mm-hmm. and you say anything, then you're not getting... We can only make the best decisions when we're given the best information.
That's right.
So maybe somebody can make an argument the other way, but I it left me scratching my head yesterday.
So the official statement from Alabama Public Health, the criteria for COVID-19 death counts now includes people who died with a positive COVID-19 lab test, as well as individuals whose death certificates list as the cause of death COVID-19 or an equivalent. So using that new information and the updated numbers, 5,832 cases confirmed now in the state of Alabama, 197 7 have died from the illness. There have been 52,641 total tests in the state and 768 hospitalizations since March 13th. One thing they added yesterday were the total number of cases and total number of tests in each county, which I'm so glad they added that statistic. For Baldwin County, there are now 143 confirmed cases, 3 confirmed deaths, and there have been 1,872 tests in Baldwin County. Mobile County, which has the highest number of cases and deaths in the state, 810 cases, 38 deaths, and there have been 4,402 tests taken in Mobile County. Now, compare that to our closest county in terms of number of cases and deaths, Jefferson County, which has 778 cases and 31 deaths. Jefferson County has double the tests that have been taken than Mobile County. There have been 9,677 tests in Jefferson County. So just use that information as you will. 18 cases in Washington County with one death, 25 cases in Clark County with one death, 9 cases in Monroe County with one, 21 cases in Escambia County with one death, 22 cases in Choctaw, 9 in Conecuh, and 52 cases now in Wilcox County. And for the state, 222 new confirmed cases yesterday with 19 deaths added to the total.
All right. We'll also, coming up in a little bit, talk more about when we expect, on the other side of the seesaw, to get the economy back open. What kind of timelines are being discussed? We know what the governor said, but what's the lieutenant governor saying now about that? And what are other elected officials saying? We'll get into that coming up on Mobile Mornings. And bleach and strong rubbing alcohol are considered great ways to kill the coronavirus on inside surfaces. On the surfaces inside.
Okay.
Well, we're going to get to a story in a little bit about taking baths in strange substances.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'll get to that in a second. But Bob Constantini reporting that at the White House Task Force News Conference, outdoors and nature may take care of the problem just about as fast. And you know I like that. Here it is, Westwood One's Bob Constantini.
The greatest amount of light shed from the Thursday night briefing came in the ultraviolet spectrum. Bill Bryan, Undersecretary for Science and Technology in the Department of Homeland Security, delivered preliminary test results.
Our most striking observation to date is the powerful effect that solar light appears to have on killing the virus, both surfaces and in the air. We've seen a similar effect with both temperature and humidity as well, where increasing the temperature and humidity is generally less favorable to the virus.
The research would hint at some kind of lull during the summer in the Northern Hemisphere, but a resurgence could occur in the fall. The president may want the nation moving again economically, but health-wise is willing to extend the federal guidelines of 3 phases for achieving return to normal, perhaps new normal. The end of the month was the original goal, though that was before the guidelines issued a week ago.
We may go beyond that. We're going to have to see where it is, and I think people are going to know. You're going to know. I'm going to know. I think people are going to know just out of common sense. At some point, we won't have to do that.
President Trump did point to 23 states where numbers of new cases are declining steadily. The nation's leading virus expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, is sounding the alarm about haste. That's as governors in some states look to move forward. The most prolific example, Georgia's Brian Kemp, allowing a number of types of businesses
gyms,
to reopen this weekend.
Centers, bowling alleys, body art studios, barbers, cosmetologists, hair designers, nail care artists, estheticians, and massage therapists to reopen.
I plead with the American public, with the governors, with the mayors, for the people with responsibility to leapfrog over things. Don't do that. Do it in a measured way.
Even President Trump believes Kemp is moving too quickly. Bob Costantini, Washington.
If Georgia's moving too quickly, is Alabama moving right on time? Is it Governor Ivey's move to hold till the end of this month be a wise one? We'll get your comments on that coming up. News is next.
Family-owned Azalea Coffee Service has proudly been keeping the hard-working folks of Mobile, Baldwin, Washington, and Clark counties going for over 30 years. Small enough to take care of you individually, big enough to take care of everyone. Azalea Coffee Service offers both national and private label brands so you can have your favorite cup of coffee every morning. To qualify for a free month of coffee service, call Wayne at 675-9178 and tell him you heard it on FM Talk 106.5. Azalea Coffee Service. Call 675-9178 now.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. The National Guard will be at Crown Healthcare on NAFCO Road today as the facility fights against the ongoing coronavirus outbreak. So far, at least 12 people have died at that facility after contracting the virus at the nursing home. Today, a special unit will be cleaning the facility to help prevent more possible cases. The National Guard is also sanitizing state veterans' homes, including one hit hard by coronavirus in Alexander City. Recently, the William F. Green Veterans Home in Bay Minette had a third staff member test positive, but so far no residents have. Mobile's mayor plans to let the city's curfew expire next week. The curfew is set to end just before midnight on May 1st. Mayor Sandy Stimson says the curfew will expire unless something changes between now and then. Mobile police have issued more than 50 tickets to people violating the order since it took effect April 7th. Schools across Mobile County will be offering meals to kids in need today. Yesterday's severe weather forced them to temporarily halt their feeding programs. The Mobile County Public School System and Chickasaw Schools will begin handing out food at 9 this morning. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5.
Imagine the breeze off the water, warm sun on your face, calm waves lapping against the pier, no traffic, no sirens. It's a perfect vacation spot. But even perfect vacations come to an end. Or do they? If you live at Grandview Point on the Bay, this is how you live, just like on vacation. The exceptional amenities are like a resort. Swimming, tennis, marina, volleyball on the bay, lighted fishing pier, waterfront clubhouse, and one of the most outrageously beautiful views on Mobile Bay. Inside, the one and two bedroom units feature marble baths, granite countertops, stainless steel appliances, spacious walk-in closets, private balconies, and free cable. Call 251-443-7222 for an exclusive tour of Mobile's only bayfront apartment community, Grandview Point on the Bay. Just 15 minutes from downtown, 10 minutes to the Brookley Aerospace Complex off Dauphin Island Parkway. You may never take another vacation when you live at Grandview Point on the Bay. 251-443-7222.
Good morning, 622 on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, and it's time for the Mobile Morning Sports Report. The first round of the first ever virtual NFL draft began last night without any surprises as the Cincinnati Bengals picked LSU Heisman-winning quarterback Joe Burrow.
Okay, here we go. With the first pick in the 2020 draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow, quarterback, LSU.
That selection was made from Roger Goodell's basement.
What was that? Was that his door chime or something in the background?
No, that's the that is the sound of the NFL draft whenever a new pick comes
out. Oh, wow, it's exciting.
You could probably make it your doorbell if you'd like. Burrow, who is with his parents at his home in Athens, Ohio, spoke about how excited he is to be the first pick.
You know, it's a dream come true to finally be picked. And to get to play so close to home, me and my family couldn't be more excited about it.
Burrow and Auburn's Cam Newton are the only quarterbacks since 1967 to become the first selection in the draft after winning the Heisman Award and the national championship in the same season. After Burrow, the Washington Redskins selected edge rusher Chase Young with the second pick, followed by Detroit taking Ohio State cornerback Jeffrey Okuda with the third overall pick. Burrow, Young, and Okuda were all with the Buckeyes in 2017, so heck of a recruiting job by Urban Meyer. With the fourth pick, the New York Giants took Georgia offensive tackle Andrew Thomas. And then, after all the rumors that Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa would fall in the draft because of his injury history.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Well, Miami Dolphins made their fans happy and selected Tua with the fifth pick.
With the fifth pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback, Alabama.
Goodell does apparently not watch much SEC football.
You are like the best coach on pronunciation of that name, but you have to work with Goodell just like that.
Yeah, he's going to butcher a name, a draft at least. But Tua excited to be a Dolphin. The Chargers followed Miami in selecting their quarterback of the future by taking Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert. And then with the seventh pick, Carolina took Auburn defensive lineman Derrick Brown. It's the first time an Auburn player has gone in the first round since 2014. Alabama offensive tackle Jedrick Wills went to Cleveland with the 10th overall pick. The Las Vegas Raiders made Alabama's Henry Ruggs the first wide receiver drafted with the 12th overall pick. His teammate Jerry Jeudy went soon after at number 15 to the Denver Broncos. The New Orleans Saints added some protection for Drew Brees by drafting Michigan center Cesar Ruiz with the 24th pick. Auburn cornerback Noah Igbinoghene will join Tua in Miami after the Dolphins picked him with the 30th pick. There were 15 players from the SEC taken in last night's first round. breaking the previous record of 12 from a single conference that was set by the SEC in 2006 and 2017. And you can expect more SEC players to be taken tonight when round two begins at 6 p.m. 625 on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, and that's sports on Mobile Mornings.
Are you planning a party, special event, wedding, or a corporate function? Well, let Naaman's Catering be part of your next event. Hi, I'm Alec Naaman with Naaman's Catering, and we take great pride in helping you with your special event. Our team of professional event planners bring many years of experience to guide you through the process and event to remember. Call Naaman's Catering today at 473-3900 and let our team be part of your next event. Check out our website at naamanscatering.com. Look us up on Facebook and give us a like. Just remember, Naaman's Catering for all your catering needs. Go Jags!
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect sunny skies today with temperatures in the lower 80s this afternoon. Tonight becoming mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with afternoon readings in the mid-80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Mako Forestry has the equipment and the knowledge to make your small or large property more usable, valuable, and absolutely more beautiful. Call Mako Forestry 251-747-1802 or online makoforestry.com and on Facebook.
If you're talking about it,
they're not doing anything.
There should be a law against that.
We're talking about it.
While unemployment has dropped, so have wages.
It's Talk Southern Style on FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning, everyone, from the SpringHillToyota.com Traffic Center Mobile Police Department. County and state troopers are clear. Been a good ride along 90, Halls Mill, Nevius, and Demetropolis from Tillman's Corner and Theodore. And again, if you're traveling across the Bayway and the Causeway and all the way downtown through the George Wallace and the Bankhead Tunnels. Lotus CBD at Orange Beach on Perdido Beach Boulevard and Foley at 3872 South McKenzie Street across from the golf course. Offer all things hemp. If you suffer from anxiety, depression, pain, or seizures, they may be able to help. Find them on Facebook, Lotus CBD. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 627 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean and Dalton, our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, joins us in just a minute here. We'll talk with him. By the way, also coming up, a discussion of alternative health care method here with coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Bathing in what?
Bleach.
Don't do that, but we'll explain who thinks that's a good idea coming up.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. The National Guard will be at Crown Health Care on NAFCO Road today as the facility fights against the ongoing coronavirus outbreak. So far, at least 12 people have died at that facility after contracting the virus at the nursing home. Today, a special unit will be cleaning the facility to help prevent more possible cases. The National Guard is also sanitizing state veterans' homes, including one hit hard by coronavirus in Alexander City. Recently, the William F. Green Veterans Home in Bay Minette had a third staff member test positive, but so far no residents have. Mobile's mayor plans to let the city's curfew expire next week. The curfew is set to end just before midnight on May 1st. Mayor Sandy Stimson says the curfew will expire unless something changes between now and then. Mobile police have issued more than 50 tickets to people violating the order since it took effect April 7th. Schools across Mobile County will be offering meals to kids in need today. Yesterday's severe weather forced them to temporarily halt their feeding programs. The Mobile County Public School System and Chickasaw Schools will begin handing out food at 9 this morning. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5.
Over the past 18 years, Lanyap has been the Mobile area's local newspaper. During that time, we've been able to deliver more than 15 million free newspapers to readers because of our hundreds of loyal advertisers. But those advertisers are hurting or even shut down right now. Lanyap is determined to keep reporting and keep printing through this crisis because local news is more important than ever. But we're going to need your help. If you're a Lanyap reader, please consider subscribing to lanyapmobile.com. It's just 21 cents a day for unlimited access to all of our news, features, breaking news, and archives. And one subscription works on 5 devices, so it takes care of the whole household. Subscribe today. Go to my.lanyapmobile.com. That's my.lanyapmobile.com. Join our online family and help ensure local journalism in our community. Thank you.
Have you been in a manufactured home lately? Manufactured homes have come a long way, now featuring many different custom design options. From farmhouse looks to more modern styles, today's manufactured homes are made with clean lines, open floor plans, great lighting, and high-end finishes. If you want to learn more about how you can own the home of your dreams at an affordable price, visit the Alabama Manufactured Housing Association website, almha.org, to find a retailer near you. That's almha.org.
In response to coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, the Alabama Department of Public Health has activated a statewide telephone hotline. You can call 1-800-270-7268 to make more informed healthcare decisions. Telephone calls are answered from 7 a.m. until 9 p.m. daily. That's 1-800-270-7268 for Alabama coronavirus information.
Special report, coronavirus update. 1 in 6 Americans have been thrown out of work. The U.S. House passes a nearly $500 billion measure providing small businesses economic relief.
The bill adds more money to the popular program that was drained of funds in the first few days. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy lamented it took too long to pass the bill, but he said Congress will press on.
We did not ask for this virus. We did not invite it. It came from a distant land. But together, we will defeat it. Not only for our country, but for the world.
And to do that, he said Congress must and will act, saying future stimulus bills are likely.
There's Linda Kenyon. The federal government is making it tougher for publicly traded companies to tap the Small Business Relief Program. The intent was to help small businesses hit by COVID-19 issues. The government said public companies can refund the loan by May 7th. On world markets, Asian shares have fallen. On Wall Street, Dow futures are higher. I'm John Trout.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Drug maker Eli Lilly says it expects to begin human testing as soon as next month for an experimental COVID-19 treatment that uses antibodies derived from the blood of people who have recovered from the viral disease. The testing could yield results by late summer and, if successful, potential emergency authorization by the FDA by early fall. Lilly says the treatment has the potential to dramatically reduce a viral load in people either about to get sick or who are sick or even hospitalized. Wells Fargo analysts say there's still a 75% chance the deal to sell a 55% stake in Victoria's Secret to Sycamore Partners will happen. Shares of Victoria's Secret parent L Brands sank 15% after news that Sycamore Partners was trying to get out of the transaction, claiming that measures the company took in response to COVID-19 violated deal terms. Analysts say Sycamore is using the lawsuit as a negotiating tactic to achieve a lower price. On Wall Street, futures are higher. That's Your Money Now.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss. Navigating the stock market can be pretty scary when you retire. Some investors choose annuities, which seem to take the risk out of investing. But Fisher Investment says, watch out. Annuities don't always provide the safety they promise. You can't take a chance. If you have $500,000 or more, call 1-800-885-6633 for Fisher's free guide, Annuity Insights. It answers the annuity questions you should ask. 1-800-885-6633.
For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up, like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for everything you do, and we'll always be here to help you do it. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Allegri Farm Market appreciates the continued support of their loyal customers and is working tirelessly to provide the same quality produce and personal service as they have through the years, keeping the shelves filled with fresh local fruits, vegetables, and groceries while providing a clean and safe shopping environment is their commitment to you. Allegri Farm Market, serving the Baldwin and Mobile communities today as they will tomorrow. Open 8 to 6 Monday through Saturday, Sundays 9 to 5, in Daphne at Highway 181 and County Road 64, Allegri Farm Market.
Now weather with Mobile Radio's only staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams.
At 6:35, good morning, Dr. Bill.
Good morning, Sean.
Looking a lot nicer out there this morning than yesterday. Bumpy, bumpy weather.
Yeah, it was, and fortunately that frontal system now is way over the eastern portion of the Florida Panhandle, And we're going to see high pressure build over us from the Great Plains. Should be a beautiful day. Plenty of sunshine, and we'll warm up to about 82 this afternoon. That sounds, of course, real warm, but the normal high already now is up to 79. Now, tonight, clouds come back in, and that's due to a smaller low-pressure system that'll be coming out of Texas. That low is going to produce some rain, but it's going to stay away from us. It's going to be over the northern portion of Mississippi and Alabama. But we'll just see some clouds tonight, and then tomorrow morning it's back to some sunshine. It'll be mostly sunny tomorrow, and we could get up around 84 to 85 degrees. Now, we will feel some cooler and drier air coming in on Sunday, and so Sunday will be sunny, a high around 80, which is just about normal. So a really nice weekend, especially on Sunday. And then Monday and Tuesday, sunny skies and highs in the low 80s. Our next chance for rain will be some showers on Wednesday.
Well, speaking of rain, I feel like I'm getting caught up a little bit at my yard and out at the farm. It's maybe good news for some farmers in Mobile and Baldwin County as well.
Yeah, we officially had half an inch, right at 0.50 yesterday.
What?
And that doesn't tell the whole story because some areas got quite a bit more than that. And for the month now, we're up to 2.12.
Okay.
We normally have well over 4 inches of rain in April, but as you can see, it's going to be dry for quite a few days now, at least through Tuesday, and then a chance of a shower or two on Wednesday.
You know, you always do such a good job of explaining how weather systems work and weather phenomenon work out there, but this is kind of the man-made part of it, and you've talked about it so many times, but there's always new people listening. When we talk about rainfall totals, we're working off the gauge at the farmer's terminal there, the Mobile Airport, right?
That's the official gauge for Mobile, but we obviously have other rain gauges around. Some run by the city of Mobile and cooperative observers that do have rain gauges. So we have sort of a network, but the official one that goes into the books is at the Mobile Airport.
And for some reason, some microclimate has created that area to be the Sahara of South Alabama. It's like a lot of times it'll have, like you said, it's a half inch or an inch there, and people are looking at their gauges at their house. They're in Midtown or they're in Daphne or something. They said, I got 3 inches.
Yeah. And, of course, in the summertime, that's not unusual because of the spotty nature of showers and thunderstorms. And you can have a lot of rain on one block and very little to nothing another block or two away.
Well said. All right, Dr. Bill, coming up, weekend weather scale.
Yeah, and, hey, it's looking good now with a lot of sunshine for the weekend.
All right, ready for that coming up next hour. We'll check back in soon.
Okay, Sean.
It's our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, with the forecast. Looks great for the next couple of days and into next week. And, yeah, the rain was much appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
Got happy. The tomato plants were looking extremely happy when I got home yesterday.
I bet. They were smiling.
The squash plants weren't looking so happy because the dogs decided to squash. I found both of the little dogs in the garden in the squash area.
Mm.
Having at it. It was not a pretty scene. All right, 6:38. Coming up, Dalton's got a story of alternative. I'm not even going to say it's an alternative method to deal with coronavirus because it's what one person did.
It's certainly a method.
It's certainly alternative. It's not recommended. Plus, can you give your pets coronavirus? Can they give you coronavirus? More from the Department of Agriculture and the CDC coming up.
Hey, talking with Ruth Lichtenfeld, personal injury attorney and nurse, with Taylor Martino, and I'm a talker, you're a talker, we do lots of talking, but that's important in your business.
Oh, communication is the key. You have to really listen to people to find out what's going on with them. Are they hurt from the car wreck? Are they having lingering issues from their car wreck? I mean, communication to me is the key to being a great lawyer.
And you probably bring things out that we hadn't even thought of.
Sometimes I really do, I think. And a lot of times clients will say to me, oh, I'm sorry to take so long. I know you're busy and all that. I always have time to talk to you. And I really mean that. And I've also told my clients, call me when you have a question. Don't hesitate to call me. I really want to hear from you if you want to talk to me or you have a question.
You've been injured? Make sure you get a chance to talk to Ruth Lichtenfeld with Taylor Martino, 433-3131 or online at Taylor Martino. TaylorMartino.com.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.
Good morning from the Alliance Roofing Traffic Center. We've had a good ride from Daphne, Spanish Fort, and across the Bayway through the George Wallace and the Bankhead Tunnels. Airport, Dolphin, and Moffett and 65 still looking good with light traffic from 90 and Rangeline and I-10 out towards Theodore Dawes Road with no major backups or delays. Car Doctor at 5683 U.S. Highway 90 West in Theodore is open to help you get your carts running during this stay-at-home time. They offer rentals or they can sell you a new or used cart, too. Cart Doctor is open. See them at cartdoctor.com. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
It's an anxious time for all of us. To help manage the stress, your CBD store of West Mobile is offering personal shopping, curbside pickup, and even free delivery. They welcome call-in orders and encourage phone consultations to help you find an all-natural solution for you and your pet. Call owner Joe Brown with your order today and get a free CBD hand sanitizer with purchase while supplies last. Your CBD store at West Mobile on Hillcrest, across from Waffle House, or on Facebook says, "Keep shopping local, Mobile."
All right, 641 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, Friday Sal, Sean and Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane, of course you, on the text line at 343-0106, Jim in beautiful Georgetown. What's up, Georgetown? West Mobile, northwest-ish Mobile County. He says, so let me get this straight. Sunshine quickly kills the virus, but our sultans of smart close down the one place you can get the most sun? He's talking about the beach, of course. Mm. And yes, Governor Ivey is running behind as far as opening up the state. We are one of the last to close. We should be one of the first to open back up. Thanks for letting me vent. Hey, man, that's what we're all about. Georgetown Gym. Have a fantastic Friday. All right, so let's talk about the discussion yesterday about the sunshine. Mm-hmm. And this is one that has come up before. People have called in and said, hey, man, this is going to all be over when, you know, people get out in the sun. And I'm like, that sounds, pardon me, wants to say that sounds logical, but it was not reinforced from the Centers for Disease Control.
Right.
Right, so, but that was discussed yesterday. And believe me, if heat and humidity is what gets rid of the virus, we're going to be perfect down here on the Gulf Coast. So, but that's one discussion of possible ways to push back and remediate on the coronavirus. But this story that Dalton told me this morning, I want to bring to you because this is Chris Cuomo's wife's battle against coronavirus.
So we all know, or you're lucky if you don't know, but Chris Cuomo had coronavirus. He's been broadcasting for weeks now from his basement, and actually just left earlier this week from quarantine in his basement for the first time, unless you count the time that he and the family, you know, left the house to go to their vacation home and break quarantine. But other than that, he officially left quarantine earlier this week. His wife, Christina, apparently also got coronavirus, maybe from her husband, maybe from somewhere else. But she wrote about her experience, her 1 week of having coronavirus symptoms on a website she founded, thepuristonline.com, an adventure in wellness, which features articles such as a call for climate action, Earth Day home health tips, things of that nature. So she was writing about her experience with coronavirus, and you know, of course, we don't want to make light of people.
She's blogging about coronavirus.
She's blogging about it and talks about her family's experience and doing normal things like us other Americans, like having an IV drip of vitamin C delivered to her home, having her husband's hair sent off to a medical center in Santa Fe to check its properties, I guess.
Oh my gosh, hold on, this needs music.
Okay, go ahead. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, so at one point she says, this past week was very challenging for me. What started as a sinus cold escalated into nightly sinus headaches and tough breathing. Since there's no proven treatment, I did not want to embark on a side effects nightmare of unproven drugs. I was ready to try alternatives. So she went on the course that she set up for her husband, Chris, of oxygenated herbs.
Oxygenated herbs.
And on top of that, she had a treatment plan daily. She would take Sinex, antivirals, OXO, Caprest, some liver cleansing substance, a ton of things she says she takes right here. But what takes the cake here, and I'll read some other things. She said, both days, I added a half a cup of Clorox to my bath water to combat the radiation and metals in my system and oxygenate it.
What?
A half a cup of Clorox to her bath water, she would add.
To combat the what?
The radiation and the metals that were in her system while also oxygenating her system. She also says she used a body charger which energy specialist Randy Oppitz suggested she borrow from a friend. What these body chargers do is send electrical frequencies through the body to oxygenate the blood, stimulate the healthy production of blood cells. She said she had a fever of 99, and it would spike to 101.5, and then she would get another spike in the evening, aggravated by the full moon, Sean. The full moon
caused the increase in her fever.
That's right. And I told you earlier, she sent a sample of her husband Chris's hair to Santa Fe,
right?
And this Dr. Linda that she talks about. And I guess that sample found that he has low protein levels, exhausted adrenals, and high metals, which constrict the immune system. So that's a little bit of the Cuomo plan.
So a little bleach in the bathtub, especially when you have a full moon, and plugging yourself into something.
Yeah, and make sure you get an IV drip. We can all get IV drips, right? It's that easy. And put some vitamin C in there.
I guess we have time down the road. I'll tell you a story about a second cousin. One they used to call my uncle, but he wasn't. Once I got to be a teenager, they said, well, he's really not your uncle. He's actually a second cousin. He's just way older than you. He almost did hard time for some scams like that, where he was filtering people's blood and charging it and with electrons and all that stuff. They called it fraud back then.
Yeah, that's what they did call it.
But for the Cuomo family,
it's just alternative medicine now. And there's so much more we could go into, but it's too long of an article of all the crazy stuff they did.
But we may post that
now.
Post that up on your Twitter feed?
Yeah, I will post it.
I'll be looking for it. That's at Dalton Norwig on Twitter. And we'll be right back.
This is Marshall Farley with Keith Kahan's Classic Cars. Right now, our country and beloved city is trying to navigate through uncertain times, and I have no doubt that we as Mobilians will make it through stronger than ever. In order to do that, we need to come together, help and support one another. Being a family-owned business, we rely on the support of our local community and customers to keep our business moving forward. At Classic Cars, we're open for business in both our sales and service departments, and we are not alone. Throughout our city, locally owned and small businesses are what makes the great city of Mobile great and unique. And the people that work at these places are the backbone of these businesses and what keeps them moving forward. From all of us at Keith Kahan's Classic Cars, we'd like to ask you to make an effort and continue to shop locally. Support all of Mobile's small businesses, from clothing stores, restaurants, radio stations, and everything in between. And together, let's all keep Mobile moving forward.
All right, talking shop with my buddy Sid from Sexton Lawn and Landscape. I'm spending more time at home, like so many people are, identifying more things in our yard that we want to fix. I know you can help me.
Well, yeah, we certainly can. We're here to help.
I want a design. I want a more livable space for the Sullivans. How do I even start that process with you?
Well, you would start by just reaching out and setting up an appointment with one of our designers. I mean, and you can reach out online or social media or a phone call. But from there, we come out and we just get an idea of what you're looking for and what you're looking to do with the space. Do you want to entertain? Do you want more usable space? Do you want to screen someone out? We can do lots of different things. And we really can go from just taking a photo and sketching it up for you there on site, or we can take it back and get a full-fledged AutoCAD plan.
Which means we know what it's going to look like before y'all even get started.
You'll even know what the budget is.
I love it. All right, how do we get in touch?
Well, sextonlandscapes.com or any of our social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. The National Guard will be at Crown Healthcare on NAFCO Road today as the facility fights against the ongoing coronavirus outbreak. So far, at least 12 people have died at that facility after contracting the virus at the nursing home. Today, a special unit will be cleaning the facility to help prevent more possible cases. The National Guard is also sanitizing state veterans' homes, including one hit hard by coronavirus in Alexander City. Recently, the William F. Green Veterans Home in Bay Minette had a third staff member test positive, but so far no residents have. Mobile's mayor plans to let the city's curfew expire next week. The curfew is set to end just before midnight on May 1st. Mayor Sandy Stimson says the curfew will expire unless something changes between now and then. Mobile police have issued more than 50 tickets to people violating the order since it took effect April 7th. Schools across Mobile County will be offering meals to kids in need today. Yesterday's severe weather forced them to temporarily halt their feeding programs. The Mobile County Public School System and Chickasaw Schools will begin handing out food at 9 this morning. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5.
Good morning, 649 on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, and it's time for the Mobile Morning Sports Report. The first round of the first ever virtual NFL draft began last night without any surprises as the Cincinnati Bengals picked LSU Heisman-winning quarterback Joe Burrow.
Okay, here we go. With the first pick in the 2020 draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow, quarterback, LSU.
Burrow, who was with his parents at his home in Athens, Ohio, spoke about how excited he is to be the first pick.
You know, it's a dream come true to finally be picked and to get to play so close to home. Me and my family couldn't be more excited about it.
Burrow and Auburn's Cam Newton are the only quarterbacks since 1967 to become the first selection in the draft after winning the Heisman Award and the national championship in the same season. After Burrow, the Washington Redskins selected edge rusher Chase Young with the second pick. That was followed by Detroit taking Ohio State cornerback Jeffrey Okuda with the third overall pick. Burrow, Young, and Okuda were all with the Buckeyes in 2017. With the fourth pick, the New York Giants took Georgia offensive tackle Andrew Thomas. And then, after all of the rumors that Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa would fall in the draft because of his injury history, the Miami Dolphins made their fans happy and selected Tua with the fifth pick.
With the fifth pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback, Alabama.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell may have butchered his name, but Tua was excited to become a Dolphin.
It was a dream come true, man, to be able to have this opportunity.
The Chargers, the Chargers followed the Dolphins in selecting their quarterback of the future by taking Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert. And then with the seventh pick, Carolina picked Auburn defensive lineman Derrick Brown, the first time that an Auburn player has gone in the first round since 2014.
With the seventh pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, Carolina Panthers select Derrick Brown, defensive tackle, Auburn.
New Panthers coach Matt Rhule praised Brown's versatility.
I think he's only just beginning in his ability as a pass rusher. He's been a dominant force, dominant run force. He's a guy to us that allows us to go to three down, four down. He can be the nose. He can be a three technique. He's even gone out and been a five technique.
Alabama offensive tackle Jedrick Wills went to Cleveland with the 10th overall pick. The Las Vegas Raiders made Alabama's Henry Ruggs the first wide receiver drafted with the 12th pick. His teammate Jerry Jeudy went soon after at number 15 to the Denver Broncos. The New Orleans Saints added some protection for Drew Brees by drafting Michigan center Cesar Ruiz with the 24th pick. Green Bay traded up to draft their quarterback after the Aaron Rodgers era ends by taking Utah State quarterback Jordan Love. Auburn cornerback Noah Igbinoghene will join Tua in Miami after the Dolphins picked him with the 30th pick. There were 15 players from the SEC taken in last night's first round, breaking the previous record of 12 from a single conference that was set by the SEC in 2006 and 2017. LSU contributed five of those first-round picks. It's the sixth time in NFL draft history that a school has had at least five players selected in the first round. And you can expect more SEC players to be taken tonight when round two begins at 6 p.m. Hall of Fame MLB broadcaster Vin Scully is in the hospital after falling at his home on Tuesday. The Los Angeles Dodgers tweeted Thursday afternoon that the 92-year-old Scully is, quote, resting comfortably. The Dodgers tweet also includes a quote from Scully. He said, "I won't be doing any more head-first sliding. I never liked it." Scully retired from broadcasting after the 2016 season, ending his 67-year run calling Dodgers games. 6:53 on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, and that's sports on Mobile Mornings.
All right, thank you, Dalton. Let's check traffic with Kane and Dr. Bill's forecast on the way.
Good morning from the Hooters Traffic Center. We've had a good start so far as you're traveling in from the Eastern Shore. A little bit of radar along Spanish Ford and the Causeway, so watch your speed heading downtown and towards the Bankhead Tunnel. Once again, Mobile Police Department, County, and State Troopers are clear. Spring Hill Toyota at 3062 Government Boulevard in Mobile is still open for business and ready to serve you. Shop online at springhilltoyota.com and they can deliver and complete all the paperwork online. Call 450-1000. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 Traffic.
This information update brought to you by Roy Lewis Construction, delivering unparalleled value and quality on new construction in commercial and industrial applications. Roy Lewis Construction, building legacies one relationship at a time. Licensed in Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect sunny skies today with temperatures in the lower 80s this afternoon. Tonight becoming mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with afternoon readings in the mid-80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Professional Collision, seven locations, are ready to make the repair process as safe and as easy as possible by offering vehicle pickup and delivery, as well as curbside drop-off, check-in, and estimating services. Online at professional-collision.com.
FM Talk 106.5 is Mobile and Baldwin County's number one creator of live local content.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile.
Listen on air, online, and on demand. FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 6:55, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, Friday style. Glad to have you here. By the way, too, as we talked about the unemployment numbers out there, I'm going to add this. The Alabama Department of Labor is reminding unemployment claimants that if their employer calls them back to work, they must accept the work. There's a lot of people hustling that system. I know from a friend of mine whose son is, I think he's 16, his friend's buddy figured out how to get on unemployment. He's making way more than his 16-year-old job, and he's on unemployment, and he's going to ride it, he says, as long as possible. That's not the point. And people are
That's why we talked about the difference in the money you get in Alabama compared to San Francisco or New York City.
You get the same amount of money, but what does it buy? It buys a lot more here.
More profitable to go back to work in some of these other cities.
So to remain eligible for unemployment benefits, federal law requires those who have been placed on a temporary layoff related to COVID-19 must return to work if called. So Alabama Department of Labor says not returning to work when there's available work could be considered refusal of work and could potentially disqualify claimants from receiving unemployment insurance benefits. That's probably the way it should be. All right, and then I mentioned pets and coronavirus. So the story starts off saying two pet cats in New York have tested positive for the coronavirus, and the cats live in different parts of New York State, and both showed symptoms of mild respiratory illness and are expected to recover, according to the agencies in the state that released a statement. One cat is owned by a person who tested positive for COVID-19 before the cat showed signs, but the other cat lives in a household where no members of the family have confirmed cases of the virus. It's probably, they said, it's possible the cat was infected by a household member who was only mildly ill or asymptomatic. I would also argue that cats that get outside go everywhere.
They go around, that's for sure.
You know. Also, you had that the tiger at the Bronx Zoo that they found, they wasted a test on and money on to find out if it had COVID-19. They said yes. But it does raise questions for pet owners. What about that? What animals can be infected with COVID-19? They said outside the United States, few pets have tested positive. Two dogs and a cat in Hong Kong, a cat in Belgium. A dog showed no signs of illness, while a cat was sickened, according to news reports. A preliminary study of blood samples from 102 stray shelter and pet cats in Wuhan, China, where the pandemic began, found that 15% of those cats tested positive for the virus. Laboratory experiment in which scientists introduced the virus to animals found that cats and ferrets are highly susceptible, dogs much less so, and pigs, chickens, and ducks not at all. In that case, cats showed signs of illness. So cats are the issue, like in so many things, but dogs less, and pigs, chickens, and ducks have the least chance of picking up the coronavirus. Now, of course, the other question here, CDC, World Health Organization, and other, the World Organization for Animal Health and other public health bodies and experts agree on this. There's no evidence that the animals can do the opposite and transmit the virus to humans. They're saying that now, and maybe that's true, but I think that bears some further investigation.
There's also no evidence that animals could get the coronavirus until this came up.
Yeah, there's that. And we're told right away that it wasn't contagious between humans.
Right. Okay.
I'll wait on that for some further guidance. All right, hour number two of Mobile Mornings on the way next.